there'll be pressure on Canada and the rest of the Americas to feed the world. The issue right now, if you look at UN figures, is close to 1 billion people who are suffering from food insecurity daily. And we produce enough food to feed everyone now. But because of all the losses along the supply chain, from farming to purchase, and then food waste post-purchase, and that includes, you know, our ability to manipulate food, store food, cook food, and our understanding of best before days, all those have an impact. If we were able to then use that, we could reduce food insecurity in the world. It's really about changing behaviors and providing more strategic goals to inspire change.
That's Dr. Jean-Charles Levallée. He's an expert in food waste and food security, and he was also one of the judges of the first stream of the Food Waste Reduction Challenge.
And in a way, it just summarized why the government of Canada launched the challenge and why we as a society, we need to address food waste.
So today we explore that challenge.
And what a challenge, Kirk. To start, there were 343 applicants in the first stream of the challenge, and there were three stages over 4 years.
So what amazing innovations does this type of prize bring to the forefront?
And how do you choose a winner?
That's why we have Dr. Levallée on today's episode.
And that's why we have the two grand prize winners. You'll see why they were chosen.
You know, it's salient, it's timely, and it's exciting stuff. This is the future of our sector. These two winners are going to surprise you and surprise the world. And this is really, really the type of story that we love to bring to you. So welcome to the First 16. I'm one of your hosts, Kirk Finken.
And I am your other host, Marie-France Gagnon.
Now, before we get into it, let's just first give a quick overview of what the Food Waste Reduction Challenge was and is all about.
It's an initiative of Agriculture and Agri-Food Canada in partnership with Impact Canada.
Impact Canada is a special organization within government. It manages these competitive challenges, of which there are a few. These sorts of challenges are great mechanisms for kickstarting or accelerating the adoption of new solutions or technologies. They're effective funding models in the business, science, or social spheres.
First, you need to know that there were two streams to this challenge. One was for business solutions, people with a business model for preventing or diverting food waste. And the other stream was for novel technologies.
Yeah, and in this episode, we're just going to focus on the first stream, the business models. Our next episode will be about the novel technologies stream.
In this business model stream, there were a good diversity of applicants. Many were young companies or even brand new startups. Some were also existing companies. And I must admit, it was really very cool how the solutions were diversified and all along the value chains from farm to fork, as we say.
The 24 semifinalists were given training and coaching, such as business pitch skills, and those 24 were then reduced down to a final 12.
And then 10 of those 12 finalists competed for the grand prize. Two of them opted out as they were already on a path to success.
Just to give you an idea of what happened then, is over the course of 10 months, from July 2022 to April 2023, the finalists were challenged to see just how much food waste they could reduce. They were provided with measurement tools for determining the volume of the food waste that they managed to divert, as well as mechanisms for measuring the amounts of greenhouse gases and water use that they reduced. And they were subjected to audits by a third party.
And it was from that final group of 10 that two were chosen as grand prize winners.
Now, I think that's where we cue the drum roll.
Oh, we have a drum roll.
Yeah.
But Kirk, I thought that these winners had already been announced on March 20th.
They did. Yeah, they were. But these people merit all the fanfares and drum rolls possible. They are slaying food waste. They're cutting GHG emissions, saving water, optimizing the food system, and more. So, drum roll, please. Our first grand prize winner of the Food Waste Reduction Challenge is
the company Loop Mission, represented today by co-founder and CEO Julie Poitras-Saunier.
Julie, welcome to our show and congratulations.
Thank you.
We are really interested to know where this food waste reduction mission all started for you.
Sure. So before starting Loop, I was working as a sustainability specialist in the food industry. And one day we received a phone call from like the most important produce distributor. He said that he was throwing away 20 tons of fruits and vegetables every single day. This was a life-changing moment for me. I visited this warehouse. I saw the fruits and vegetables that were rejected. I had goosebumps. And this is when I decided to quit everything, quit my job, sold my house, and start this project to find a way to give a second life to these fruits and vegetables. So that was really this moment. And it was for me really an opportunity to show the world and all the corporate world that sustainability has a value and that you can create a business that the more you sell of something, the better it is for the world.
You quit your job?
You sold your house.
And you founded Loop.
Yeah.
Tell us what Loop Mission is all about.
Sure. So Loop Mission is a circular economy company that fights food waste by upcycling different types of produce. And we transform it into clean label premium products such as cold pressed juices, probiotic sodas, iced tea. So basically, we take all the food that is wrongfully rejected by the food industry and we make something out of it.
Loop was established before the challenge, n'est-ce pas?
Yes.
And with the challenge, you opened a new wing of the company, Loop Synergy, to produce ingredients for other food processors to use. Am I right?
Yeah. When they launched the Food Waste Challenge, everybody contacted me, all the consumers, but also all our shareholders, stakeholders, everybody in the industry. Everybody said, this contest is for you guys. And at the same time, I had this idea because we got so many phone calls from everybody in the food industry when we started this project, food manufacturers, distributors, farmers, retailers, everybody said, we also throw away so much food. And it was so challenging for other companies to implement similar business model than ours because the food industry isn't set up this way. It's really complicated to use rejected food because of the inconsistencies, the short shelf life. And so we came to this realization that we needed more companies similar to us. But for that to be able to happen, we needed to help food manufacturers to actually like create something and to like surpass or find a way to reduce these challenges and make it easier for them to use upcycled fruits and vegetables or any ingredients. So I had this idea, but I didn't know how to start. And when I saw the challenge, it was the perfect opportunity to develop this ingredient branch that's called Loop Synergy that would upcycle ingredients for food manufacturers.
So what I understand is that you're enabling others in the supply chain to innovate, to change their practices.
There's a radiating impact. We also heard along the way about these other benefits that happened as a result of the challenge itself.
First of all, like just the fact that it's a challenge, it really pushes us to always give the best of ourselves, like because you want to win this challenge. So we were challenged a lot along the way with different reporting that we had to do. We had to present the whole methodology about how we're going to reduce food waste and how we're going to calculate the amount of waste that we're going to reduce. So it was really interesting to see how I started with an idea and 3 years later, because it was a process that took 3 years, it was a totally different project that has such a bigger impact than the idea we had at first that it was really interesting.
You mentioned the measurements. Can we dive into that a little bit?
Sure. So at first I was like, oh, but that's quite easy. I just look at what I buy as an upcycled ingredients and that's it. But we had like a third party that verified us. We had monthly meeting.
Well, that's great. So, you know, it pushed you to go deeper on your processes and the measurements and you got solid and verifiable metrics, right?
Yeah, it really helps with consumers because upcycling food is something really new. So people don't necessarily know like how we do it, what is the percentage of what you have that is really upcycled. So we really look at what's really wasted? What is the amount that is really supposed to go to the landfill? And this is a way for us to show consumers that what we do is real and it's not greenwashing and we use a lot of it. We upcycle a lot of food. So for us, that was really this trust and credibility that this whole process brought to us.
What are the benefits that you're bringing to the industry now with your innovative business model?
You need consistent ingredients all the time. And it's really like, it needs to taste exactly the same all the time. It needs consistency along the chain all the time. And we wanted to ensure that other people in the food industry like join the movement and upcycle food. So we just made upcycling food easy for any food manufacturers. And we started with a lot of smaller companies as a pilot test during the contest. And now the next step is really to move with like the major players of the food industry.
Okay. You're at the quick growth stage of a, you know, it's a movement. And it is different than other movements that we've seen in the business world. There's competition, yeah, but there's a friendly and collaborative aspect to your business movement. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, for us, every time there is somebody else doing a business model that is similar to us, we're not really a competitor. It's somebody that has the same mission in us, and we're so driven by that mission that we want to collaborate with them to create this big movement together. And we actually, like many of the other finalists, we had projects with them. We collaborate with most of them. I was surprised to see how it's just one big circular economy family out there.
Wow, I really like that picture. But coming back to the challenge over those 3 years, did anything kind of surprise you?
What really surprised me is we just did one video on the social media saying, oh, like, I just wanted to see, like, what is the market response if we say we're going to have ingredients for food manufacturers? The response was crazy. Everybody started to contact us saying like, oh, we want to buy it. Even like huge companies started to call us. And I was like, whoa, okay, we're not ready. First, I didn't think the impact would be so quick and so big that we had to also focus a bit and change. So I had to put aside the part that was dehydrating fruits and vegetables because we didn't even have enough room in our facility. I realized like after like receiving the right equipment, looking at all the plan with our technical director, he said, no, it's not going to fit. And I realized that there is so much demand just for what we currently are able to do with our current equipment. I was like, why would we need to go in so many different directions? So we're going to focus on core of what we already have and the equipment we have, and we're going to be able to have like even a bigger impact and without buying even more equipment.
So by that reaction, sounds like the market is ready.
Yeah, the market is ready. And that's why like we realize like we just need to overpass these barriers because like the food industry really wants to be part of this.
When I looked at the images that Julie sent us of the warehouse with all of those, the tons of wasted fruit and veggies, it doesn't look like gold. It's a mess. You know, you got some good, some rotting food too, but, you know, she and her team saw gold in there and they established repeatable processes for saving that waste. They have a great line of products for consumers now, and a great line of ingredients for other food processors.
Yep. And now, Kirk, before we introduce the other grand prize winner, you know, there was a lot of other benefits to the society out of the food waste reduction challenge that we need to acknowledge.
Yeah, absolutely. So overall, 5.2 million kilograms of food waste were diverted by the 10 finalists. And Loop Mission was responsible for diverting 66% of that total.
You are right, but it's so much more. In the total calculations of the 10 finalists in 10 months, close to 12,000 metric tons of CO2 emissions were prevented.
That is a lot. We're just talking about these 10, right?
Yes, and that's like if I compare, it's 2,657 gas-powered passenger vehicles being driven for 1 year.
It's really kind of hard to conceive.
Yeah, and that's not all. There were 545 million gallons of water saved. And calculated in terms of nutrient, it's the equivalent of 3.3 million meals recovered.
You know, it takes our breath away. And this is just this challenge. Now, our next guest was a part of it. And again, here, can I cue that drum roll again so we can introduce the other grand prize winner?
Yes, you may.
Okay. Our other grand prize winner of the Food Waste Reduction Challenge is...
the company Still Good, represented by co-founder and CEO Jonathan Rodrigue. Bravo, Jonathan, and welcome to the first 16.
Well, thanks for having me.
Hi, Jonathan. Let's jump right into it. Tell us about your company.
What's Still Good? What do we do? We upcycle byproducts from the food industry into new ingredients. So we've developed technology, we've developed specific processes to take any type of waste stream generated by the industry, but also to scale it. So it's not just about upcycling, it's being partners with the industry and being able to take the volumes of waste and transport them into new ingredients for human consumption, so into new edible goods.
I always love origin stories. So what motivated you to start this company?
Good questions. We would be going back about 20 years ago. I started doing volunteer work in nonprofits. And one of the things we would be doing is handing out food baskets. And as I was doing that, I was kind of wondering where all this food was coming from. It was either food, you know, that wasn't going to retail or that companies were throwing out or were surplus foods. And I really had an issue at that time where I was looking at the situation where we had thousands of tons of food that was going to waste. Yet on the other hand, I was here doing volunteer work with family and with kids that had a hard time making ends meet and didn't have food on the table. So to me, something didn't work. And then there was some sort of a system that was broken. And in 2016, I actually started working on a model, which is the Still Good model today, based on all of those years of experience and knowledge. And what I decided to do is, you know, start doing some R&D, and we officially launched the company in 2018.
That's amazing. Jonathan, tell us about the challenge. Can you describe what was your experience?
Yeah, so the challenge for us was way more than a prize at the end. You know, we had people helping us in building our way of reporting all of our data, teams that were helping us in how to do our pitches, how to better communicate what we're doing and you know, kind of structure the whole project. So for us, it gave us a structure to help us, I think, in that matter.
So I already know that you were asked to measure your food waste reduction.
Yes.
Can you tell us a bit about that process for you?
What we really wanted to focus on, though, is making sure that our model was not generating more greenhouse effect gases. You know, like, is it equal or is it negative? So we work with Ivy School of Business, and we work with a bunch of universities and other specialists who helped us in building a model where we would not be only taking into consideration the waste that we were eliminating from going to landfill, but our whole operations, what does it look like? So we're generating less CO2 than we're actually generating through our whole operations, which is good news for you know, the food industry and businesses that work with us.
And can you tell us more about how your innovations benefit Canadian food processors?
Yeah, so the Stilted model is actually a model that's very interesting for the food industry for two reasons. It's helping in reducing waste and greenhouse emissions, but there's a whole economic factor to what we're doing also. We actually work in partnership with the food industry, where if you have food byproducts that are generated through your operations, which is the case for every food generator, what we do is we come alongside the company. We have a team that looks into what's being generated. We have an R&D team that takes that, looks at what can be done with it, and works hand in hand with the company to be able to transform that into new ingredients that can be then reintroduced in their own products or create new product lines under their own brand. So we're taking a waste and a cost stream, and we're turning that into a new revenue stream for the industry.
That's amazing. Your company acts as an enabler and also a hub. We understand that you actually did work with some of the other competitors in the challenge.
Yes. Well, you know, being in circular economy or being in food waste reduction, you know, we understood that we're part of the solution. What we did is that, you know, we're working with the food industry. We have byproducts that are coming in. Unfortunately, there's always a percentage that we also have that cannot be used for human consumption. So out of everything that we source, there's a percentage that doesn't pass control quality for different types of reasons. But what do we do with that? I mean, if we're looking to be a model that's zero waste and that's reducing food waste, what do I do with what's generated through my own operations? And that was a reflection that we had. And then what we decided to do is we looked at other participants in the challenge and other organizations that we knew that were also looking into, you know, reducing food waste. And we realized that whatever I couldn't use for human consumption could be used to feed insects, for instance. So we started working with a company who was in the challenge who use byproducts to feed insects, and now we supply them with that. Could we use it to grow crops? Yes, we can. Oh, look at that. There's another company in the challenge who uses the byproducts to grow mushrooms. Let's work with them, you know? So that's how we started building synergies and saying, is there other companies out there that can use it?
Very cool. So could you tell us a little bit more about your hub model and, you know, how the others, work with you, grow with you? And I'm talking about the food producers and food waste reducers, really.
So that's pretty much where we're going with this, where we're saying, how about we learn from what we're living here in Montreal and in synergies that we're developing with other organizations that want to use byproducts and want to be involved in reducing food waste? And how can we structure something that can be then replicated pretty much anywhere around the world?
So what's next for you? What's next in terms of the growth to scale up your company?
We're just finishing building our new facility. And with the challenge, that's what it helped. And we've just finished that. And I'm already working on the next one because I know that in about 2 years from now, we're going to outgrow this. What's next is quite exciting. We're now today, we've got, you know, revenues in the millions and we're a team of 25 plus and you know, we're expanding and growing rapidly and always, you know, growing our volumes. We're in flowers, we're exporting to the USA. We've got, you know, manufacturing businesses that are working with us where we're involved in so many different types of products. We have over 25 types of different products that are available through food service and B2B. So I'm actually working with our financial partners and other partners around the table and looking at this and saying, the next facility I'm going to need will be a facility where I can treat anywhere between 100 and 150,000 tons of byproducts for the Montreal region only. And that's going to be here in about 2 or 3 years from now. What we're doing right now is we're actually documenting everything and make it very easily replicated pretty much anywhere. So where are we going with this? Stillgood is more than a company. Stillgood is a movement.
You must be getting phone calls from other countries, no?
Well, look, we're getting a lot of phone calls from the U.S. They can work with us. And mind you, for us, exports in the U.S. is not the end game. Exports is not something that makes any sense when it comes to upcycling or, you know, food waste reduction. But it does in a way where we need, by doing that, what we're actually doing right now is we're seeing where the demand is mainly coming from. And by that, it's going to show us where the next hub in the USA will be. We are getting a lot of traction from Western Canada also. So involved with the City of Vancouver and a bunch of partners out there, we're looking and creating a hub. We're feeling the same traction, in Halifax, where there's all these initiatives around a hub also that are, you know, that have been started with the, Canadian National Food Waste Council and all of these folks that are working on different projects. So, and mind you, we're working with companies right now that on several projects with large corporations that also have international, you know, other facilities in Europe, in the U.S., South America, Asia. And we're working on different R&D projects right now with these companies, with different facilities here in Canada. But it is very out in the open and clear with these organizations that what we're doing right now here is a pilot project that would be replicated in all their facilities around the world. And that's going on with a few different corporations right now. So not just one. That's also very good news where you have these companies that are willing to move forward with this, but are also willing to invest financially with us in making that happen in their other facilities because they, you know, they come to the conclusion that alone they didn't know what to do. And now we arrive and we find ways to do stuff and we innovate and we develop products. And for them, this is just amazing. And this is not a local initiative. This is a global initiative that will be done locally at different local levels, but it's a large vision. This is where we're going.
At this point, I am curious to know if anything surprised you during the challenge.
Everything surprised me during those 4 years. Look, I think what surprised me the most was to see our own evolution and how things changed so rapidly. So we had a situation in Montreal where you had the city of Montreal who told us, look, you guys are working with spent grains. We have microbreweries that are popping up everywhere in the city. We have an issue with spent grain collection. Can you guys figure out a way to scale more rapidly what you guys are doing to help us out with that, you know? And along came the challenge pretty much at that same time. So what surprised me, to what extent we were able to take the technology we've developed and take the processes we've developed and find ways to apply that to different types of waste streams and now move way beyond spent grains and what we're doing, you know?
Yeah, wow. You grew during these past 5 years, especially during three really tough years during the pandemic, and you had lots of challenges.
Yeah, starting a business is hard. Now, starting a business, being hit by a pandemic, and being an innovation in food, and working in R&D with ingredients and with products that don't exist, where you can't rely on what you've done in the past, is also very hard. What we've done in the last 5 years, starting from nothing, I can only be excited of what's coming in the next 5 or 10 or 15 years. It's just going to be amazing. And for this to be coming out of this great country is something very interesting also, where it puts Canada in the forefront in saying, look, we're innovative in what we're doing and we're creating models that they can be replicated anywhere around the world. The challenge challenged us year after year in our model and pushed us in making our model better. And without the challenge, maybe we would have gotten there eventually. But the challenge, what it did is it pushed us to get there faster. I mean, Silgit is not a company. It's way more than a company. We're on a mission over here, and that's it.
It was such an inspiration to speak with Jonathan and Julie, two great and energetic entrepreneurs, two great business models, ready for scaling up on the national and international level.
Their story gave us a great insight into this new movement in our sector. They are extracting more nutrient and value from the fruit that is already available in the system. They are bringing others along with them, and they are reducing greenhouse gas emissions.
And it is why, Marie-France, you spoke with Dr. Jean-Charles Levallée, one of the jury members for the challenge.
Yes, I did. He's one of Canada's and the world's leading experts on agriculture and food systems. He is the country representative and agriculture ambassador for the Inter-American Institute for Cooperation on Agriculture in Costa Rica. He works in 34 countries in the Americas and kindly brought his experience in international food waste to the challenge.
Yeah, he's grounded in his very necessary humanitarian and science-based approach.
Yes, and I really wanted to know what it was like to be a jury member for a challenge like this.
Well, honestly, I was thrilled, excited to be surrounded by other jury members from the sector, from range of expertise and backgrounds that really made the experience for me personally very enriching. And given the wide range of wisdom and expertise across the sector, across Canada in the committee, I felt I had strong trust in the committee members together to come up with the two winners of the entire challenge. And I think for your audience, it's important that they understand that it's food loss along the supply chain from farming to purchasing. So at point of purchase, at the retail sector, post-purchase, it becomes food waste. So we worked along in this challenge to reduce food waste, to see what we can do as a country to attack it. It needs to be addressed. Canada is among the most wasteful societies in the world, so we've got lots of work to do. So this challenge is wonderful because it inspires. It's a way to scale up. It's to demonstrate what we can do to reduce the environmental footprint, to reduce waste, and to improve the overall food sector performance. And it has an impact on food prices too.
Huh. And can you talk to us about your first impressions of the participants in the challenge?
Well, I was blown away. There's a breadth of interest in different ways in attacking this solution. This problem with solutions that are all over from coast to coast, you know, from upcycling to other solutions, really inspired by the innovative ideas. Some are less ready. They're early stages. Others are well-established. They have a market. And clearly, these are solutions that could be scaled up that are worthwhile investing in.
And I assume that the criteria within the process of the challenge were also important factors. Can you speak to that?
What I really, really liked about this entire reduction challenge is that with the applicants who were then selected for the following steps, were not left to their own devices. Really, they were accompanied with financial support, with training, provided tools so that they could put into place and measure the impact of their idea. And does the innovation work? And so that was, for me, was it made the challenge even more worthwhile. We have to act now. And the reality is, like, there's so much work to be done still, but it requires more investment and more infrastructure and a cultural shift so that we push for these kind of solutions. Everyone agrees that we need to do something. We have to be more responsible and more sustainable. It's part of our future. And this is one way we can do it. And the challenge is a fantastic initiative to demonstrate value-added approaches that we can scale up across the country.
I don't know about our listeners, but I definitely feel energized and optimistic.
I totally share that feeling. And I just want to tell our listeners to stay tuned for our upcoming episode. We'll be interviewing the two winning companies in the novelty extreme of the challenge.
And those two, they're going to knock your socks off. They're big game changers.
So until then, you know what to do?
I do. I got to try something new.
Like maybe trying a new food product made from upcycled ingredient?
Mm-hmm, that too. In fact, I'm drinking some right now.